everybody, and welcome back to Increasingly Lax here on Lacrosse We Trust. I'm your host, Todd McAlee, and my paternity leave is officially over. Hi, Evie. Daddy loves you. Chesapeake Bay Hawks midfielder and former Syracuse great Stephen Brooks joins us this week. We discuss his MLL team, the Orange, and the joys of becoming a first-time parent. Enjoy.
On the phone, Chesapeake Bay Hawks, former Syracuse great Stephen Brooks. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
How many national titles did you win at Syracuse?
I won two. I got bookends. I won one my freshman year and senior year.
And how many titles have you won with the Bayhawks?
Two as well.
Lacrosse circles, which carries more weight, NCAA or MLL title?
Well, they're two different types of weight carried, I think. I mean, college-wise, you have a group of 50 guys that are playing year-round.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fraternity. You see the same people every day of your life while you're at school, all fighting for the same cause. And, you know, that just has just a lot of heart, because all the time and effort and work you put into it, it means the world to you, and it means the world to university. And then when you go professional, you know, it's tough because you see the guys only on weekends. And so you got to maintain taking care of yourself throughout the week. And then when you see those people on weekends, you really
right.
got to showcase your skill set. So it's almost harder to almost win it professionally, because you got to maintain consistency. You don't have a stick in your hands all the time. But, you know, I can't compare the two. They're both great championships to win, and they all both have different types of meanings of what it means to win a championship.
It has to feel great, though, to hold the two NCAA titles over guys from, like, Maryland or different schools who haven't won one, though, right?
Hoisting the trophy at the end is always a great feeling. It's something nobody can ever take away from us, because it just says hard work paid off and we're able to do the right things at the right time and we're rewarded for it.
What do you do outside of lacrosse?
Actually, I coach for – I'm a Mid-Atlantic manager for 3D Lacrosse from Virginia up to Baltimore. I work with Spencer Ford, who's our GM,
mm-hmm.
and we have Brian Cooper working for us as well. And, you know, we're just – running club teams. I run select teams down in Virginia. We have about 9 teams, and we're hopefully just to expand the game and help grow it in the right directions that we need to grow it. And 3D is what they implement in the game and the methodology and everything they do. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in it, and I think it's great. And I'm just happy that I can give back to the youth, just because, you know, they're the future of the game.
And the sport's exploding every place, even in hotbeds like Maryland and Virginia, D.C., it's just exploding everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was in Illinois, I graduated with 19 high school teams playing when I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
I went back just a couple weeks ago, and there's over 100 high school teams that are playing lacrosse. I mean, that just speaks volumes of the game, and I think nationally it's the fastest-growing game.
Is there a regiment that you guys follow during the week? You know, Coach Cottle tells you to do X, Y, and Z to prepare for the upcoming game, or is that all individual-based?
I mean, individually-based, it's you to take care of yourself to come in on the weekend ready and conditioned and better than you were last week. The one thing that they always have us do, and I'm a firm believer in it as well, is watching film.
Mm-hmm.
The moment we get back, we either get a film on Monday or Tuesday, and we get a film index, and it breaks down offensive ends, defensive ends, turnovers, personal stuff, and all these other types of tabs that you can look at, and you're able to watch film. And I mean, if you watch film, you can develop a lot better game, because you know this thing. You can see the things you do wrong and correct it, and you see the things that you do right and try to maintain continuing that. And you know, that's the biggest success that we have as a team, is you're able to watch film. But when it comes down to conditioning and lifting and taking care of yourself, it's you're accountable on yourself, and it's your job to make sure you come in ready.
What do you do during the week?
I train probably 3 to 4 times a week. I have a personal trainer over at Tarotti in Chantilly, Virginia, and I try to see them 3 times a week, and they put me through footwork and conditioning and lifting, and I just try to maintain that and try to do all the drills with a stick in my hand, so I just don't lose my stick skills and just try to maintain it throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, are you finding a brick wall in throwing? Do you have partners to throw with, goals to shoot on?
I have goals to shoot on, and I have a wall to hit, and I play wall ball. And when I don't have time to get to the field and shoot, I actually have my wife. I have a tennis court in my backyard, and I just got a goal back there. And I have my wife actually sit on the tennis court, and she feeds me lacrosse balls, and I just shoot, which kind of works, and she's pretty accurate with it, too.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. When you said, I have my wife, I almost thought you were going to say you had her give him a goal. But how difficult is it to keep that focus that, you know, you come back from a game and you have all these work obligations and family obligations to know that, hey, next weekend I have to be here, I have to be there, and I have to be ready?
You know, it sure is difficult. You know, my wife, she's a trooper. She travels to a lot of the games, and she comes to almost every game that she possibly can to. And we're expecting a kid in November. So, I mean, you know, now that we have the summer coming up, we have like a lot of doctor's appointments, and you know, and I have a lot of work obligations that I have to go to. And you know, it's just being able to find the pocket. And you know, she's big. She trusts me to make sure I can do the right thing, and she understands that I have to go work out, but. You know, you have to spend time with work, you have to spend time with family, and you have to spend time for yourself. And, you know, it's tough getting it all down, but, you know, this is my fourth or fifth year in the league with the Bayhawks, and I'm just able to maintain the same schedule, and I just try to get it done in the morning. When she goes to work, I try to get it done in the morning, and then I go right into work and start doing my job so I don't have to wait till the end of the day. So when I get done with work, I'm able to come home. So it's worked out for me to get it done in the morning, but... You know, sometimes you got to fluctuate your schedule to figure out what's going to work best with your family because there's other things that are going to be coming up.
I absolutely understand what you're saying. My wife and I just had our first child, a daughter, 5 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I know all about the doctor's appointments and the different commitments that you have when you're is this your first child?
Yes, this is our first.
Do you know what you're having?
We're having a boy.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I'm sure everybody you talk to will tell you that.
Well, I can't. My wife thinks, so she sees how excited I am. If it was me, I wanted to have one 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But we had to wait, but I'm so excited.
Do you have a lacrosse stick for him yet?
I'm actually going to try to do the native way, which is, you know, you find a little wooden lacrosse stick. And
yeah.
Put it in its crib, so instead of picking up a toy, you can pick up a lacrosse stick and bang around in the crib.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Talk about the Bayhawks. Where do you think you guys are at this point of the summer?
You know, everybody thinks, so we're the Bayhawks, we're old, we're this, we're 2-6. But you know what? I think the biggest thing that we continue to do is fight. You know, I don't think we're out of the chase. You know, going back-to-back championships and trying to do your third is always a tough thing.
Right.
Bringing in new people, it's always a tough thing. But those are just excuses that people want to look at to say, this is why we're not winning. You know, we have the ability to be great. We have the ability to make the saves, make the stops that we need to do. We just need to be consistent and putting in our energy and effort together as a team and do it, you know. And everybody's chasing us. And it's always hard being at the top of the food chain when everybody wants to eat you. And it's easier when you're a bottom because you're starving and you just can work your way up. And, you know, we're dealing with adversity this year of why aren't we being successful? Why aren't we able to do this? Why aren't we able to do that? But I think a true testament to our team was last week against Denver. You know, it wasn't the outcome that we wanted, but, I mean, we outshot the team. Jesse Schwartzman made 28 great saves.
Yeah.
And it's something, you know, it's frustrating, but we're able to come together as a team and know to see what our successes are and try to move on. I don't think we digressed at all ever since the first game. It's just the pieces aren't coming together at the right time. And I think, you know, that Denver game was a true showing of why we can be successful. Let's maintain that consistency and go along with it with that energy and effort that we need to bring to the table.
And Denver never loses at home either.
Yeah, that's true.
What is it, you know, what's Coach Cottle telling you guys? Obviously, you're all veterans. You got a lot of guys who have won titles in college and the pros and even international. What does he really have to say anything to you about, all right, let's just be prepared going forward, or is it just kind of tactical stuff?
You know, it's always statistical stuff with us, you know. I mean, if you look at the stats and you look at somebody, like, for instance, I had one shot, one ground ball in a game against Denver. That's not supposed to be something I should have more than one shot, or I should produce more. If I'm not doing something offensively, what can I do defensively or transition-wise to my team? And that's, and he holds everybody accountable for those things, and that's something that he should do as a coach. And, you know, he gets us fired up in the locker room telling us, you know, we have to fight. What are you going to do for the person next to you? And he gives good pregame speeches. But what it boils down to is statistics. What are you able to do to bring to the table as a team? This is what you're good at. Stick to that. This is what you're good at. You do this. You do this. And we'll be successful. And I think, you know, he just keeps reiterating himself to saying, you know, keep fighting. Keep having the energy. Don't doubt yourselves. And success is going to come our way. And it's eventually the chips are eventually going to start falling our way. And it's sooner or later. And I think the time is now.
And I think of anybody, the BayHawks have proven here in the past 4 or 5 years, you get into the playoffs, no matter what your record is, you can get to the finals and win.
Mm-hmm. That's what usually it's like whatever the best team, start coming on hot midway through the season, and you continue that, it's going to be going.
Right.
Momentum's going to build into the playoffs.
Do you like the two-point shot?
I love the two-point shot. I think it's a big game changer because, you know, you may be up by two goals, but you really have to think about what are we going to do possession-wise as a team that's up by two goals because that 60-second clock wears down. There's 10 seconds left in the game. There's still an opportunity to tie it, and that's what the best thing about the game. You know, if it's three goals, it's like, all right, now we got to hit 2 points, get a face-off and shoot. But with two goals, like, you know, it still gives you the benefit of the doubt that you have the ability to fight back, possibly tie the game. And I mean, I like it. It's just like anything else when it involves more than one goal, you get rewarded for being an outside shooter, and those people can find their strengths and be successful at that.
It's from a fan's perspective too. It's so exciting.
Oh yeah.
You know, to see some guy load up outside of the box and just let one fly. With me speaking with guys in MLL over the years, they've said that they wish college lacrosse would adopt some of your rules, such as the two-point goal. Do you think it would lead to a better product?
I think the biggest thing that would lead to a better product if they put a shot clock in the college lacrosse.
Yeah.
I think the reason why the spectators have gone down so much is because the pace of game is, you know, you hold on to the ball for a minute and a half, 2 minutes, that's the pace of play where people start thinking it's boring. I mean, I grew up playing fast-paced lacrosse, and the Syracuse tradition used to be just catch, fast break, and run and gun.
Right.
And I think the MLL suits the game very well, where there's great goals, there's fast action, there's transition, and that shows the best ability of lacrosse as a whole. But, you know, when college holds on to the ball, you know, it just slows the game down a little bit. And I think if they were at a shot clock into the game, I think the spectators would be more involved and it'll change the game around because, you know, now you only see offensive and defensive middies. Well, why not put a shot clock in and force offensive players to play defense as well?
Right. Yeah, I forget if it was Brian or FTX who used to have the slogan, fastest game on 2 feet. And, you know, as a fan, someone who's played all through high school as a middie and then obviously has watched lacrosse for most of my life, the game has slowed down. It's not as appealing as it used to be. It's kind of like in hockey when the Devils were trapping everybody, you know, the neutral zone trap. There's a place for defense, but it needs to be more up-tempo, in my opinion.
Agreed. And a lot of the guys.
Yeah, when you see new college guys coming into the game, coming into the pros, how hard do you think it is for them to adjust to? You know,
I think the speed of game is faster than college. I mean, it is so fast, and you see a lot of kids come in here, and they're like, well, what's going on? Like, give me a rundown of the game. I go, it's fast. Be aware, have your head on the swivel, and know and anticipate a pass coming your way because the ball flies around, and people run faster, and people are stronger than they were in college because you're not going against a freshman, some 18,
right,
19-year-old. You're going against 20, 22, 23, 24, and older guys that are all fighting for a position to make themselves successful. So these people are bigger, faster, stronger. So just keep your head up and, you know, just maintain the speed of the game.
Let's talk about Syracuse for a little bit. How surprised were you by the Bryant result?
I was very surprised. Nobody ever wants to see that as an alum. But, you know, they fought their way to get to some games, and, you know, they got they got by the britches, and some games they were very successful with. But, you know, as a alumni, you want to see them succeed, and you want them to hoist the trophy in the end and be as successful as they were, as you were when you were playing there. And it's tough to see. It's tough to see some of the guys go through what they're going through. And, you know, a lot of the alumni reach out to some of the players, like Matt Harris, the kid from Chicago, who I used to coach, and he's someone I reached out to on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not all the time you're going to be winning, and it's just very unfortunate, like I said, that these kids aren't able to experience it. But, you know, they'll be back on the grind. They'll be hungry again next year, and eventually they're going to be back on the championship podium hoisting that trophy up soon.
Talk about that alumni network. I've heard it's comparable to the UNC basketball. You have all these great players, and everybody maintains relationships, you know, with Coach Desco, with each other, even going back as far as, you know, the Gate brothers, that there's still a presence from all these past players there at Syracuse.
Well, actually, it's unbelievable, because our alumni chain, we get emails every week, and it's about helping some kids looking for a job, some kids looking for this, and we all extend our hands out to say, hey, why don't you come work with us? Why don't you come work here? When I moved to Virginia, I had ample people reach out to me and say, hey, I can give you a position just to get you started. Anything that you need, just let me know. And, you know, even with the greats, like the Gates, the Powells, everybody stays in touch with one another, and I think it's great. And, you know, I keep in close contact with Jimmy the Third a lot, and I text message Donahue here and there, but I just try to keep up with them because, you know, they helped provide the path of why I'm successful today. You know, I think it's everybody just going giving back and saying thank you to the ones that provided them that guideline to get where you are. And if they all bleed orange, so you want to see this the university be as successful as you were.
One last thing, and I'll get you out. Thank you so much for your time. The BayHawks will turn things around if?
The BayHawks will turn things around if we get a win this weekend.
You think that could be a catalyst for?
I think we just need to get one win. We were so close last week, and I think we can get it the one this weekend. And if we get the one this weekend, we'll be, I mean, we're fighting. We fight. We have to fight. If we quit, we can't quit. I mean, there's no such thing as quitting. We continue to fight and claw and do whatever we need to do to get a win. But if we get a win, we'll turn it around.
Okay. Stephen Brooks, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye.